Once again, reading in the book of Exodus. I'm going to be reading in Genesis 32, but reading in the book of Exodus this morning. And I'm right at that point to where God is telling Moses, I'm not going up with you. And I stopped before I got to the point where Moses said, if you don't go up with us, then don't send us any further. And that's the way I feel. If God doesn't go with us, then don't make us move anywhere. Don't make us do anything. Don't have us. We need more than an angel to lead us. We need His presence. And for the same reason that Moses said, so that the world will know, so that we know we have a God. Oh, I'm amazed at how relevant that part of the story is for us. That we have the presence of God. We need the presence of God. Genesis chapter 32 for our reading this morning and for our consideration coming out of verse number 29. Really, I need to read a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to take the time to read that whole lot. So I'll try to read just what I feel like is absolutely necessary to point us in the right direction this morning. Would you bow your head with me? Father in heaven, thank you for your presence this morning that we've been able to enjoy as we've worshiped together. It's always such a delight, a wonder to be in your special, divine, anointed presence. Oh God, help us to never take it for granted. And the song that was just sung, may it be the prayer, the cry, the desire of every one of us this morning that we always live in your will, in the center of your will, as the writer said. Give us that anointing that is needed in this part of the service as we open up your word. I pray, Lord, that your anointing will be such that it will make your word real to us, that your voice will come alive to us this morning. Speak to us, speak through your unworthy servant this morning, I pray. Give us that help that is needed, even in the midst of weakness. I pray for your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 24, beginning our reading, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he responded, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The phrase that I want to look at is indeed five words this morning. Some of you caught that it wasn't five words last Sunday night. This is indeed five words, and he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. The thought that I want you to take home with you this morning is this thought: blessed in the place of struggle. You could put another word in there if you want to add to that and say, blessed even in the place of struggle. Now, as we look at this verse, he blessed him there. This phrase is coming from a dramatic encounter. Dramatic encounter. I don't know what you think of when you think of this story, what goes through your mind, but I think that it would be safe to say that it's a dramatic encounter between Jacob and this stranger, what we know as we look back on it, a divine stranger at the place that he called Peniel. And it was at this very moment, in this very moment of Jacob's life, that Jacob was changed forever. He was given a new name. He was given a new direction. He was given a new destiny. He was given a new character. He was given a relationship with God. Let's take a look here for a little bit as to what this phrase could possibly mean, that he, God, blessed him there. In the very place of Jacob's wrestlings, in the very place of Jacob's fears, and in the midst of our struggle or the battle that we face or the cumbersome circumstances that we go through, that in the midst of those things we find that God blessed Jacob at the point of his struggle. Now, Jacob's life was really marked by striving, wasn't it? Even before Jacob was born, it records for us in the book of Exodus that the mother, the one that was carrying Esau, and it's hard for me to say Esau and Jacob, and that's the way that it should be said, Esau and Jacob, because Esau was the eldest. But it's hard for me to say that because of what we know, that Jacob is the one that received the birthright and the blessing and all of that. And probably you're in the same boat that we commonly say Jacob and Esau. But even while Esau and Jacob were in the womb, it seems it would indicate to us that there was a concern of what was going on in the mother's belly. She was alarmed at all of this that was going on. And God told her at that time that there were two nations striving within her. Now, nobody knew that except for the mother. Nobody else was really aware of that except for the mother. But at the birth, then, it becomes visible as Jacob is grasping at his brother's heel. It's a very small, minuscule thing in the circumstances of Esau and Jacob's lives, but it seems to be the indication of what is to follow throughout many, many years of Jacob's circumstances and his living, his existence. He was striving. There was a battle that was going on. There was a complexity in his circumstances that he seemed as though he could never rise above, that he had to be scheming, he had to be working and conniving even to find his way in life. And it seems as though that was his existence. We come up here to Genesis chapter number 32. I think I said a moment ago Exodus, but chapter number 32 of Genesis, and we find that Jacob is at a crossroads, and he's fearing. He is really fearing. I don't know. I think I can understand a little bit about it, but I don't think that I fully grasp what Jacob was feeling here as he was coming back into his brother's country. You see, he had escaped. He had gotten away. He had left it all behind because he had done some things that that his brother hated him for, and his brother's hatred was such that it was taking him to the very nth degree of what hatred is, and that is murder. He had murder in his heart to take Jacob's life, and now Jacob was coming back into his brother's world, and he feared. I think that we could really read a whole lot into that, and I don't know that you could overdo how much fear he had. He had just had an issue with his father-in-law. This wasn't very many days prior to. He had had that issue, and he rose above that. But then as soon as he turned himself back around and was headed towards Esau's properties and lands and peoples, he was faced and confronted once again of yesteryear, way back somewhere where he had been deceitful. And so he was at a crossroads. In that crossroads was this fear of reunion with his brother. You know the story, we read part of it. He's alone at night. He is on one side of the brook, and everybody and everything else is on the other side. He's all by himself in the midst of the darkness. It doesn't tell us exactly, but I would surmise that he didn't have a nightlight. If there was any light at all, it would have been the lights of the heavenlies, the stars, the moon, if they were shining that night. I kind of wonder if perhaps it was a cloudy night because of all that was going on in Jacob's life. That seems to be, well, you know, the natural side of things, that perhaps it was even cloudy and so dark that he couldn't see. That may not be the case, but I just think that. He was alone. And somewhere in the midst of his mental anguish, as he was struggling with what was to take place in just a few hours, suddenly, out of that darkness, somebody grabs him. Some of you have been to Union Bible College and the administration building. I believe it's on the north side of the administration building. There is a cylinder tube thingy that comes down from the second floor down to the ground floor. And it's a fire escape. What was out of what used to be the library back in my day when I was there. And it was an interesting place. You weren't allowed to play on it. You weren't allowed to play in it. But there were times that somebody wanted to walk guard. Somebody wanted to learn how to be a security guard. And it seemed like that was the initiation, that he had to go into the library and check all of the windows to make sure they were locked. And out of the shadows, somebody would jump out, or two people would jump out and grab that wannabe security guard and throw them, push them down that tube, screaming and yelling. Just the reality in the midst of that darkened building, that old creaking building, it never shut up in the nighttime. It creaked and groaned all night long, and here, out of the darkness, somebody grabs this wannabe security guard and pushes him out that door. I'm not saying who was involved with that, but I kind of wonder if that's how it was with Jacob here. He was alone. He was going about his business in his mind. It was the struggle going on. And in the midst of that, as he's anticipating this meeting with Esau, who wanted to kill him, suddenly somebody grabs him. And apparently the person that grabbed him was enough of a strength that Jacob had to give everything that he had to survive. Now, to him, it's a mysterious man. But somewhere in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that battle, his mind began to work, and he became aware that this was not just a physical being, but there was a divine presence. This person was greater than humanity that he was wrestling with, and he begins to ask and plead and request that he be blessed. He was not going to let go unless God blessed him. It wasn't in the comfort of home. It wasn't in the security of riches. It wasn't in what is common among around his life and existence. But it was at the river's edge. It was in the midst of the darkness, and it was surrounded by a whole scope and presence of uncertainty that Jacob met God. Now let's look at it from a personal level. Jacob's wrestling here can symbolize our very struggles. It might be that the thing that you brought into the service this morning that you're facing in the midst of a struggle, some kind of a conflict. Maybe there's some kind of a doubt, or there's a fear, or there's a yearning for something in the way of assurance. But whatever the struggle is that you are experiencing and you are bringing it to the house of God this morning, it is a very similar, the struggle that Jacob had in that very moment, that you and I can also look at it from our vantage point. One thing that I do think we have to notice, we must notice, is that in the midst of this struggle that he had with this divine being, Jacob not only left a different man with a different name and a different direction and a different destiny, all of those things that changed with him, but also we find that his physical being changed. He left with a limp. Sometimes God touches us where we hurt, and he allows that hurt to continue on. For what reason? It could be that the only reason why God allows us to face something in our lives that is painful is so that we are constantly reminded that we are dependent on him. Isn't that what Paul the Apostle said as he penned those words in the New Testament when he was talking about whatever it was that was a thorn in the flesh for him, and he asked God three times to remove it? He says later on, he said it was a thorn so that he could be reminded of his dependence on God, so that he didn't get swelled up with pride and arrogance of all that he had to his name, whether it was prefixes or anything else that he had with his name. He had to recognize through this painful experience that he was dependent on God. Maybe you could say that it's a reminder of our vulnerability and our dependence on God. And yet, here it was, at the point of there. God blessed him there. At the point of there, in the middle, or in the confrontation of his own very weakness, that Jacob received the blessing. Is that settling in this morning? Now, not only do we have to recognize that he left with a limp, that he moved away from that encounter with God and had a limp for years to come, and maybe it was there all the way to his death. And also we have to notice that this blessing that God gave him did not erase his past. It transformed his future. It didn't erase the past, but it transformed his future. God gave him a new name. That new name means one who struggles with God and prevails. The blessing came not because Jacob was strong, but because he held on. Could I change that a little bit to say that he was blessed not because he was strong, but because he believed. Faith, rest. My faith has found a resting place, songwriter said. He held on even when he was in pain, even when it hurt, even while the struggle was still very real, it was very intense. Refusing to let go, despite of the pain and the uncertainty, he blessed him there. You see, location matters here in this story. I believe that it's very important that we understand the there of this story, the location of the story. God did not wait for Jacob to be perfect. God did not wait for Jacob to have better circumstances where his circumstances had changed or where Jacob had turned over a new leaf for himself. And he didn't have to go about all that a person sometimes thinks that they have to achieve or to arrive at in order to be or to have God's attention. But while he was in that very vulnerable situation, God blessed him there at that moment of brokenness and wrestling. For us, that could simply mean that God meets us where we are. God meets you where you are. In your doubts? If we're honest this morning, there's some doubts that are scattered all across the congregation today. I don't say that to put shame on anybody, but God wants to meet us in our doubts. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that is struggling with some kind of a failing in the past or a failing in the present even. God wants us, or he wants to meet us even in our failed moments of life. He wants to meet us in our anxieties. He wants to meet us in our fears. All of these things that you can find in the life of Jacob is the same thing that God is calling us, that he wants us, and he wants to meet us in our place that is exact or similar. I know for myself, and maybe you're like me at certain times of life, maybe in the past or maybe in the present or perhaps down the road somewhere, you'll think and think that the blessing that God wants to give is reserved for another time or it's reserved for another place. When we're better, or when we've overcome, or when the struggle is over, or whatever we say at a better time and place, but God wants to meet us. We find it in the story of Jacob, at least we find it here, that God wants to meet us and give blessing in the midst of our struggle. Not after we have picked ourselves up by the bootstraps or the nap of the neck and we've carried ourselves forward in some kind of a victorious manner, but in the middle of our weakness, in the middle of our lack of strength, when we can't even stoop down to grab the bootstraps, God wants to meet us in that place. And it was there that he blessed him. What are the lessons that we could have for us? What can we actually draw out of this? Well, first of all, we draw out of this that God's presence is in our struggles. He wants to be there in our struggles. When we're wrestling with the circumstances or the situations of life, and sometimes we find ourselves even wrestling with God, God wrestling with us, God reaching us in the midst of those darknesses and in those struggling times is not a sign that he is rejecting us, but it is a reality, it is a visual, it is something that you and I can have a hold of that that God is engaging in our circumstance. We can bring our questions, we can bring our pain, we can bring our confusion to Him and know that He meets us there when we bring it to Him out of a sincere heart. Cry for Him. We also can see from this life of Jacob and in this point of his life that there's a blessing of transformation. God's blessing does not leave us where we were. The place of there changes after God's blessing. What do I mean by that? It's very simple, that when God meets with us, when we have an encounter with God, even when He touches the hollow of the thigh, when we are walking away with a limp, there is a change that takes place in your life when you have a divine encounter. We can't avoid that. And if you haven't had a change in your life from a divine encounter, then I question how surrendered your heart was at that divine encounter. Because God changes. I think it's very similar to us when God changes us. He changed Jacob's name. He changed Jacob's character. He changed Jacob's purpose. I think it's very similar to in our lives. God changes us in the same way. You and I may walk away like Jacob with a limp, but we can walk away blessed. Blessing comes quite often in the place of weakness. Oh, I know that it's in the place of weakness that it's awfully dark. I know, I've experienced that awful darkness. I felt the oppression of the enemy bombarding the mind in the midst of that darkness when it seemed as though there was no light. There was nothing of value left. Everything was gone. Every strength was taken away. It was weakness and only weakness. Some of you know. Some of you have experienced that low point in life. But you see, it's at the very place, the bottom of weakness, that God will meet with us. It is not our strength that He comes to get, but it's in the midst of our weakness. He blessed him there, where Jacob was most vulnerable. Now, it's kind of given to us here in an obscure kind of way that Jacob's grip didn't relinquish its hold. While he was tenacious in his grip, he was ultimately surrendering to the stronger of the two. His demand to be blessed wasn't saying that I am overpowering you and I demand you to give me a blessing. No, his tenacious grip was simply saying within himself in an obscure kind of way, God, I am surrendered to you. I need your blessing. And then we finally see as well that this story tells us that as we hold on to God, Jacob's determination to not let go until he was blessed reminds us of our need to be persistent in our faith, to seek God's presence no matter what. Again, I've already said it, but not in the message part. We need God's presence. We must have God's presence. We cannot advance without God's presence. And God blessed him, Jacob, there. God blessed Jacob there. Do not wait for the conditions to be perfect. Do not wait for the struggle to be over. But bring your wrestling, bring your doubts, bring your needs to God, and He is faithful to meet you there. There. transforming your struggle into a blessing that will shape your path forward as an example and a light and a testimony to that encounter with God, transforming. And he blessed him there. Would you stand with me this morning? You may not be struggling right now. It may not be your circumstances that you're facing some kind of an intense battle, but let me warn you, let me tell you, let me share with you that somebody is. And it could be that you'll face it tomorrow. So it really goes for all of us here that we allow him to meet us in our weakness and in our struggle. And that as we surrender to him, he blesses with a victory that goes beyond our imagination. A strength that takes us beyond our physical. A change in our life, a change in our direction. May God help us to follow in his steps. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust the Lord blesses you through this Lord's Day. Forget our services tonight. Praise God. Brother Herb, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?